Well, it's good to be here. God bless you. Greetings from Trinidad, Colorado. And just looking forward to making the journey in here and being with you as a church, seeing what God has for us. I want to just say before I get into the message that I want this weekend to be interactive. If you have questions while I'm preaching, if you're bold enough, put your hand up and ask them. I'll stop if at least I see you. And if you want to wait, I might open it up afterwards just to take some questions. I, like Dave kind of alluded to, I don't have all the answers, but I know God does. And I believe, without a doubt, I believe God wants to speak to His people and just reveal Himself to us. And we, whether the church is going through a difficult time or not, the heart of God is constantly to reveal Himself to His people. And we stand in a great need in the day we live to really see and know the heart of God, because it's so easy to get focused on other things. And I mean, I was just thinking about it today, and just in being in leadership and being in church work and all of that, it's so easy to start seeing faces of people and seeing, you know, and you hear of problems and you start focusing on problems and all of that. And after a bit, you realize, you know, if we don't see something else, that's discouraging. I mean, it's hard to know where to go with some of that. And through all of that, we must be able to see Jesus Christ, His grace, His glory, His heart, God's heart, the Father's heart for His people. We must be able to see that. And so I want to just pray yet before I preach. And then, again, if you have any questions along the way, I might open it up at the end. If you have questions tomorrow, I would just really welcome that too. Let's pray. Father, we just come to You in the name of Jesus. Thank You for the blood of Jesus. Thank You that Jesus shed His blood, gave His life to purchase a bride, to call out a people unto Himself. And Father, tonight, Lord, You've blessed us with the calling in our own hearts to be part of that. That bride, that church, that beautiful group of people that You're uniting together for Your eternal purpose, Father. And Lord, I just pray tonight, I ask You, Father, just for a revelation of Your heart in my own heart, Father, and a revelation of Your heart to the people that are here, Father. And Lord, I pray that we could just really allow You to draw us close to Your own heart. And Father, Your own heartbeat would be the life that's in the church of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray that You would just, Your Spirit would be free here tonight to speak through me. Your Spirit would be free to touch hearts, to draw hearts, to bring healing, to bring courage, to bring strength, to bring grace, Father, where we need it, Father. You know exactly all the areas we need that, Lord. I just pray for Your help and Your work in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to start tonight with just some thoughts, and I'm sure they're not, probably not new thoughts to you, but what is the church? Maybe I'll just open it up. What is the church? What are we after when we think of church and having a healthy, functioning church? What are we looking for? What is the heart of God? What is the will of God? What is the purpose of the church? Let's just open it up to start with here and address some of that. Any thoughts? And I don't think there's, I mean, unless you're way off, I don't think there's necessarily any real wrong answers, because the church is, it's a broad subject, so there can be a lot, there's a lot of aspects of the church that could, of the purpose of the church and so on. But in your mind, what is the church? What is the purpose of the church? Does anyone want to venture just some thoughts on that?
First is the bride of Christ.
Okay.
Which brings a great sense of responsibility to walk holy before.
Okay. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Okay, fellowship is a very important part of church. Okay, redeem people. Okay, very good. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we get focused on trying to have good services. We get focused on, you know, we want people to feel spiritually uplifted and, you know, go out maybe encouraged and feel some strength and so on. And all of that is, obviously, there's no reason to not want that. But I want to look at the church just as I see it, as something very foundational tonight. And I want to start here in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times, verse 1, and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I have a parallel here with the Amplified. I want to read verse 3 in the Amplified. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outraying or radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power, when he had by offering himself accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt. He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. So that's who Christ was. And in these last days, he said, the writer says here, that God spoke to us through this one that was the very outraying. He revealed the glory of God to mankind. When man seen Christ, they could see the Father. They could see the glory of the Father. They could know the heart of the Father by seeing Christ. So that Christ was here with that purpose, and part of that purpose was to die for our sins and to redeem a people be the first fruits of many that would now follow him. He would bring many sons unto glory. And it says in John, I won't take time to turn to all of these scriptures, but it says in John, as he is, so are we in this world. As another place it says, as he walks, so are we to walk. So I just bring that out. I want to turn real quick to Colossians chapter 1, too, because it kind of brings the same thought out. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, I believe it is. Who is the image of God, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is the exact likeness, the Amplified says, of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. And I guess that's where I want to start at tonight. The church, I believe, first and foremost, is to be the visible representation of the invisible Christ now. We are the body of Christ. And so what the world sees in the church, it should be an exact representation of the invisible Christ. We are the hands, the feet, the body of Jesus Christ. And that if we lose that aspect of church, however much we are successful in programs and drawing people and entertaining people and just meeting needs of people without leading them, without showing them the Christ, we have failed as a church. We are to be the visible representation of Jesus Christ on this earth. And many times in our looking to have good church and have an exciting worship experience and all of that, I think at times, at least I confess as a leader, we lose sight of what we're really here for. We are here to represent Jesus Christ. We are here to show the world who this incredible person was that came out of glory and was willing to take on human flesh and came down here to give his life a ransom for many and to be able to bring many sons unto glory. And that's it again, that to me, that is one of the fundamental, foundational aspects of the church. You can have a lot of other things wrong or not. You can miss it on other things that aren't as vital to really being what God wants us to be as this thought right here. We are here to make the invisible Christ visible to a world. And to the point that we do that is however many people or however few people are drawn to that, if that's the testimony that is given in a church, then that is successful. That is fulfilling the purpose of God, of Christ for the church. The church is here to be a living representation of Christ in the world. So there's a sense that the church is Christ. So what is the world's image of our blessed Lord and Savior by the testimony that's left of the church? I tell you, that's, to me, that's a deep thing. You know, when things go wrong in the church, when things break down, when things, just going to be honest, happen like happened here, the worst part of that is not what that does to us and to you, But what that does to the name of Jesus Christ, because the only reason for this church being here should be to prove that Jesus is real, to prove that Jesus is love, to prove that Jesus is holy, to prove the righteousness, the truth, the grace, the beauty of Jesus Christ. And when we, you know, just set aside, you know, what happened here, when we get into squabbling and all kinds of personality conflicts and not walking in love and in grace with one another and all of those things, the tragedy of all of that is not what it does, what we do to each other, but the testimony of Jesus Christ. The world, we are here saying we represent Jesus in this world. And why would they be drawn to the gospel if what they see in the church is nothing, many times, nothing more than just organization and maybe a group of theological teachings or whatever and practices that, you know, that we hold to and all of that. That's all they think about in the church. All of the different denominations, all the different groups, all the different little things here and there. And, you know, that's what the world sees many times. And church, we're here not just that we make it, like David alluded to. We're here not that just that we make it. We're here not just that our children make it, as important as that is. We're here that somehow the testimony, a living, true testimony and representation of who Jesus Christ is living in our communities. To me, that's paramount to what the church is to be and what we need to focus on as a church. I want to turn to Matthew 18. We might look a little bit more at this maybe on Monday evening, I'm not sure, but I just thought of this now. Matthew 18, maybe I'll start in 15. I think most of you know the context here of but I'll just read this. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I wanted to read this in the context. Many times it's just pulled out and read by itself. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Look at the authority that Christ has invested in the church. For what? Again, to represent Jesus, to be a testimony and a representation of Jesus Christ on this earth. That's what this is for. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And that is really the heart of Jesus Christ in our gatherings, that there's a place, whether it's just two or three, there's a place that have gathered unto him. There's a place, there's a people that have gathered in his name, unto him, for his glory, for his eternal purpose, to meet with him, to be in his presence, that we may properly represent him to the world. And his heart is there, the promise is there that that he would be in the midst of his people. And that is an incredible promise there. We become, the church is God's dwelling place, God's temple. Christ was God's temple, God's dwelling place, and the church is the temple of Christ. The church is, Christ dwells among his people. Christ dwells in his people and among his people. And we know that Christ dwells in us individually, but when we come together in his name, there's a further manifestation, there's a further reality, and a further promise that Christ has promised to be in our midst. And that is a very powerful reality. When people walk in our churches, do they encounter Christ? Do they encounter that's a very important question that we need to ask. Do they encounter Christ? If we're churches that are here to represent Jesus Christ, then the truth, the reality is that men should be able to come in our presence and encounter the living Christ, the glory of Christ. Whether they accept that or reject it, that's between them and God, but it should be there. And again, many times because of situations and problems and so on in the church, we lose that aspect. You know, some of you know the story of Gary, our neighbor that got saved and walked into a church on a Saturday night. We were having a prayer meeting, and the first time he was in there, he ever came to church, he didn't even know what we were doing. And when he walked in, we were all praying for him. And he fell down and repented. And that was 10 years ago now, 11 years ago, 10 years ago. But the thought came to me, what if Gary would have walked in that night? He had gone into town, bought a fifth of liquor, was going home, had a bullet in his gun, was going to drink that fifth of liquor and shoot himself. That was his whole intention. He came by our little building, seen the lights on, had no idea what we were doing. And he drove past. Pretty soon he's in front of the church again. And he's like, I can't go in there. I don't even know what they're doing. I've never been in there, whatever. And anyhow, he walks in, and we were all praying for him. What if we would have been in some deep theological argument when a man like that walked in? What if we would have been, what if there would have been some conflict in the church where people would have been against each other? He wouldn't have encountered Christ. When he walked in there, he met Christ. It wasn't us. He met more than us. We can't do what happened to him. He fell down on the front chair and began to weep and repented. And he was a drunk for 30 years. When he got off his knees, he was a new creation in Christ. And he's still there today, walking with us. Loves the church. Loves the church. He got born again in the church there, and he has such a respect and an honor for church. Because that's where he met Christ. That's where he shows me the bullet occasionally. He said, Phil, this was going to take my life, but God had other plans. I met Christ in that church. Church, that's why we have church. And again, how many times do we lose our focus of that in the struggle we have in churches so many times? And God help us. God help us. God set us free from things that distract people from seeing Christ when they come in our midst. People used to say, God is dead. Where did they come up with that? By and large, because they went into the church and they didn't encounter Christ. And I tell you, dear people, if in these last days, if God could stir our hearts to just leave these things behind that pushing our own ideas, opinions about things, and just, if we could just think, what I want to see happen in the church, is this going to enhance a true representation of Jesus Christ here, or is this just something that I want to see? I just encourage you, all of us, in the leadership and all, let's ask ourselves these questions. Is this going to, if we want to see this happen, maybe, and maybe you have an opinion about it, you'd love to see this, ask yourself it. And it's something to discuss even in the brotherhood. If we do this, if we follow this, if someone comes in here, will this enhance the possibility that they encounter a living Christ and His beautiful, awesome presence that He longs to mantle upon His people? God wants to be with His people. God wants to be in our midst when we're together. Jesus promised that if we meet together in His name, for His sake, He promised that He would bring His presence in our midst. And the thought of that in that context is there's authority there if Christ is there to deal with problems. There's always going to be problems with people. But Jesus is the answer. He has a way to deal with things. When you see Christ in the body that He walked here on earth, functioning as a heavenly man that was separated unto the will and the purpose of God, when you read through the Gospels and you follow, this was Christ, fully God and fully man. This was Christ on this earth walking in the body that Mary gave Him by birth. And He was here for one thing, for the glory and the purpose of the Father. And in that, like we read in Hebrews, He was, you could see exactly what was in the Father by the way Jesus walked. The purpose of the Father, His love for mankind in giving His life, all of those things. If you read how He functioned in that body, don't you think that that is exactly how the church is to be functioning as His body on the earth? What you see Him doing as He walked here as a man, shouldn't that be what we do as a church? Shouldn't that be what we're about? The way He walked in His body, we are now that body, and we should be about the same things. And again, so we get so, I don't know you guys that much, so I'll just say this, I get so sidetracked from this reality at times, because you start focusing on this and that, and you know, what about this and what about that, and should we this and should we that, and all of those things that make up church life. And the thought, the truth, the revelation that do we look anything like Jesus? I mean, us together, us functioning together, us walking together for the eternal will and purpose of the Father, which we're called to that. That's what Jesus did, so we have the same calling. We're called to that. Is there any sense at times in our churches that, you know, we might not have everything perfect and everything figured out, but one thing we know, we want to be about our Father's business. We want to live out Christ before the world, before our families, before our friends. We want somehow people that observe our life to say, and observe our churches to say, I know that if I need help, I know where to go. We give Jesus an address. We should be able to give Jesus an address in this world. We know that God is everywhere and whatever, but would to God that He would just come such a powerful way here that people would begin to know that if I'm hungry for Jesus, if I go to this Shreve, Ohio, this address, and I walk in these doors, I'm going to encounter Jesus Christ in a living way. Would to God that that would be the testimony that comes out of our churches. And again, so much of church life it becomes a theological question about, you know, Calvinism versus, you know, Arminianism and all of this stuff. And where, you know, and I'm not saying those things aren't important, but I tell you, the most important thing is the life of Christ. And church comes out of life. We can't organize a church and not try to get life out of that church. We're doing it completely backwards. Church needs to come because people encountered the living Christ, the life of Christ, in a very dynamic way. And whenever you encounter Christ that way, it draws you together. You long for, like the sister said, you need fellowship. You want like brothers of like precious faith. You want to, you know, you want to be challenged. You want to be encouraged. You want to come together. There's a drawing there. There's a desire there. There's to come together and just feast on more of Christ and you know, challenge each other to go deeper in Christ. And so let that be something I just really would encourage you, even in your prayer, let's pray that God, by His grace, would so work in your hearts together, melting you together, knowing the reality of His life in your own experience, and then bringing that together corporately, that when you meet, the life of Christ is here in reality, and you can give someone in the workplace or whatever says, "Where can I find Jesus?" Wouldn't it be so lovely? Wouldn't it be so great that there would be such an assurance of the reality of Christ in our churches, that we could just tell people, come to church Sunday morning, you will experience Christ. And I know all of our churches, I know we can grow in that. But I tell you, church, when we live for the purpose of making Christ known, of knowing Him and making Him known to our generation, You can know one thing, the devil is going to fight against that with everything. He don't care about so much about our practices, our doctrines. We can have all of that stuff lined up or whatever, but he does care about whether we represent Jesus Christ in a right way to our generation, in the time that we live. And I tell you, Satan will fight against a church like that with everything that's in him, because that's who he's against. That's what he's against in our churches. The living representation of Jesus Christ, the true testimony of Jesus, a living, not just what we say, but a living testimony and representation of Jesus Christ in the church. I tell you, Satan will do anything he can to get our focus off of that and to get us wrangling and struggling and so on to where that isn't the truth and that isn't real in our midst. And may God help us. May God help us to just to get to that place as a people. The assurance and the promise as we meet in his name that he is here. We, the body of Christ, give God a physical address on this earth. This is a staggering thought, but God planned it from eternity. Again, the awesomeness of this truth that we can say with absolute assurance that God will be in this place tonight. To have that absolute assurance that when we get together, God's going to be here. God's going to touch me. God's going to change me. God's going to speak to me. Not man, not just some idea, not just some theology, but God himself with his presence is going to come and melt something, break something down in my heart, heal something in me that needs to be healed. Church, that's the reality of, that should be the reality of church and church life. And may God help us, may God help us, all of us, to get there. Because church, the world has rejected the church because of the hypocrisy and so on. And I know the world will reject, in a large measure, the world will reject even when Christ is made known. But I tell you, they won't all reject it. I believe there's a cry in our generation to see reality, to see reality. I want to know if this is real. I want to know if God's real. I want to know if God's real in these people. And there's people like Gary. When he knew God was real, I tell you, he broke like all of that years of alcoholism and everything, he broke under the weight of that sin and found Christ. Not only do we give him a physical address, but also it is there that the needs of men and women are met. We give God a place where men can meet him. And then God the Father, through God the Holy Spirit, displays God the Son. And out of that, the ministry, the very ministry of Jesus comes out of that to people that are in need of him. There's a supply there of the ministry of Christ working through the power of the Holy Spirit. when Christ is in our midst, when God is there, when we make a place for God, and when our whole purpose of being meeting together in church is for God, is for His glory, is to make Jesus real, and we allow His Spirit to work, there's a ministry, the very ministry that Jesus, what He did, going around, doing good, healing the sick, those that are oppressed, the devils, all of that, there's that ministry. That ministry, church, needs to be restored to the church. The sad condition of the church is proven, in my estimation, and you can disagree with me, but it's okay. But the sad condition of the church is proven by all of the para-church ministries that are springing up everywhere to meet the needs. God wants to meet those needs in His people here, in church. People are going to other, and Christian, yes. And do they minister Christ? Yes, many times they do. I'm not against that per se, but why is it that all of these ministries are outside of the church? And people get help there and they don't, what's the need of the church then? Somewhere we've dropped something, somewhere we've left something that God wants to restore in His church, in His people. The ministry of Jesus Christ, the very works that Jesus did, He wants to do it when we're together. He wants to heal His people. He wants to draw people. He wants to convict people of sin when we gather together in His name. He wants to touch His anointed. He wants to touch His love with His presence. And it's sad that the problems of our day somehow have to be farmed out to all kinds of other ministries. To me, it's sad. I don't accept it. I mean, I don't accept that as that's God's plan all along. I believe God wants to bring that ministry back in His people. He don't want to just use a couple well-trained people. He wants to use His body. He wants to use you. He wants to use the grace that He has imparted in you to help people. It isn't just a few ministry people. If I forget to say that on Monday evening, I believe in a church that ministers, not just a church that has ministry that ministers. And I'm sure you agree with that. I'm sure that's what you're endeavoring to do here. We want the body needs to minister. Because the body has life. And again, church comes out of life. It's a natural progression of life for there to be church. That's why when there's revival and people get right with God, a lot of times churches start. Because it's what happens when people get revived. It's what happens when people meet God. And God wants all of us to see and know the truth that every one of you that are born again have been given a measure of something that worked in Christ. He gave Himself out, it says, and we might look at this a little more on Monday night. He gave Himself out. He took captivity captive and He gave gifts to man. What does that mean? He divided Himself out to His people. So that means everyone that's truly born again has a measure of some aspect of the ministry of Christ that's been put in you. And That's the importance, one of the importance of a corporate body then, is to bring that together and have those, all those measures that have been divided out, have them function together. The more they function together, the more you see who Christ is. There's no super spiritual heroes that have 50% of what worked in Christ. That, he didn't do it that way. He divided it all out, and that we all need each other. And when someone holds back in the body, you are withholding a measure of the ministry of Christ. And when people come in looking for Christ, there's an aspect of Christ's own ministry that could have touched them that now is withheld. If you're discouraged, if you're down and you just don't feel like, you know, you come to church and you just don't feel like giving yourself or whatever, if someone comes in here, the fullness that could have been here is not here now when we come with that attitude. Well, I'm tired and I just hope the preacher has a wonderful message and I just really get fed good and then maybe I can make it another week. No, that's not church. That's not church. What time is it? I need to keep going here. In Ezekiel's temple, we see how the river flowed out from the temple in Ezekiel 47. I imagine you're familiar with that scripture. That river flows out and it's to the knee, ankles and knees and so on. Finally, it becomes a river and everything that touches, it says life just starts springing out. And a beautiful part of that too is it runs down into the Dead Sea. That is the lowest place of the earth. That is literally the lowest. I can't remember what it's minus whatever it is, sea level. It's the lowest place on the earth. And that picture is that that river runs right down to that lowest place and it brings healing, it brings deliverance, it brings life because it came out of the temple and it came by the throne, the temple and the throne came from the heart of God through the church and it ran down and whatever that was able to touch, it brought life. Church, that's church. That's the church. That's what we're called to as a people. Again, if the church comes to the place of displaying and ministering Christ and how great He is, it will draw out every ounce of Satan's power against it. As the instrument of God's purpose, the church must be proved to be absolutely superior to Satan and his power. So don't beat yourselves up too bad. Over what happened here. I mean, I make no excuse for it. It's terrible, all of that. But I tell you, Jesus is greater than what happened here. Jesus is greater than what Satan wants to do with this. And it has to be proved. You have to prove it. You have to believe it. You have to get up in faith and say that the Lord I serve, the Lord I serve is greater than this. And the Lord I serve can take something so devastating and still somehow there can be a recovery of the testimony of Jesus because that is what's in the heart of you that are left. The recovery of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Can the testimony be recovered? Can the testimony be recovered? Is Jesus big enough that somehow you cry out to God for this thing? and say, God, we want the testimony and the name of Jesus to be exalted in spite of what happened here. We want to be used as a vessel before you to see the name and the testimony of Jesus recovered. Is our God big enough for that, church? Can the truth and the faith of that grip your heart to where you know that you're not going to let Satan destroy everything? The truth is, people were helped here, the way I understand. And I tell you, it's no mystery that where people really find help, Satan will do everything he can to get in there and destroy that. And we got to fight. We got to fight for it. We got to fight for the name of Jesus. We got to fight for the purposes of Jesus Christ. It's not so we look better. It's not so River of Life looks better. It's so the name of Jesus is vindicated. And out of what seems to be complete confusion and death, life springs out because the people set their heart to the will and the purpose of God, of Christ. Set their heart to make Jesus real and known in spite of such a terrible thing. He has chosen us, church, to have the testimony of the life of Jesus. He has chosen His people. He's chosen the church to have the testimony of His life. Maybe I'll just read a couple verses in Revelation 1. I'd love to read this whole scripture. I just love this passage here. I think I'll read the first, maybe just the first 2-3 verses here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God. This was John. And again, may we as a church have this same heart to bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of all things that he saw. And then let me read the last few verses. Verse 16, and he had in his right hand, is talking about he's seen. Well, let me read in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And if you read in Zechariah 4, I won't take time to turn there, but it talks, he has the seven candlesticks that are all of gold, and gold, gold in the Bible refers to God. So the seven candlesticks that are all of gold means that's a type of the candlesticks, like we'll read here, is a type of the church. And the church is to be all of God. It's to be all of God. We don't organize in what we want and then somehow bring God into that. The church needs to be all of God. Our theology, our purpose, our reason for getting together, everything about the church needs to be all of God. That's the thought there of the seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. The 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. And again, Christ is seen here as standing in the midst of the church. And we know if we go into 2 and 3, Christ is addressing things in the churches, all but one of the churches, I believe. He's addressing things that hindered the testimony of Jesus. And Christ is going to deal with that. Either you take away the things that hinder the testimony, basically he's saying, or you're not counted. You're not counted in with the churches. I mean, that's serious. That is serious. I'm going to remove you, he says. Remove the candlestick. Remove the light. I believe the candlestick. Well, actually, I just thought of that. I don't have it in my notes, but in a couple chapters over, it talks about the, I don't know if I can find it real quick. Chapter 4, verse 5. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And I believe that when he says, I'll remove the candlestick, he's saying, I'll remove the Holy Spirit. I'll remove the light, the fire of the Holy Spirit from your midst. You can carry on as church. You can go right on. Maybe a lot of times we go right on and never even think about whether the Holy Spirit's been taken away or not. We have our programs. We have our system. We just keep right on going. But being a candlestick with a candle, it's to have fire on it. The Holy Spirit, He wants the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, convicting, drawing, ministering, showing us Christ, giving us revelation. And so it's very important, church, that we deal with everything that hinders the testimony of Jesus in our midst, and then seek by God to have that testimony restored. Have that testimony recovered. And I believe that the testimony here, I believe it can be recovered. Because, again, the church is Jesus Christ, and nothing is too hard for Jesus if we let Him have His way, if we let Him work. I believe the testimony of Christ can be recovered, can be restored. I believe, church, that if you give yourself to this, I believe that you can become, and I'm not saying you haven't been, but even in a much greater way, I believe you can become an awesome demonstration of who Christ is and who He wants to be in these last days, to draw people to to minister people, to minister life to people, to draw people to Himself, out of, away from all of the sin and the hurt and the things that defile and so on. Christ is here. Christ is standing, I believe, in your midst. And I believe He wants to just really light the fire again of the Holy Spirit in your own hearts, and then do that collectively as a people. So I'll open it up. I didn't even touch most of my notes here, but I believe this is enough for tonight. Is there any questions? Is there any discussion? I'd be glad to hear from you too.
I'd like to see the church come alive enough to take over that, but yeah, it still seems there's a need for them. I've often wondered that, like, how do I sort that through practically? It's kind of a question, but I don't know if it really has a real clear answer.
Right.
I wouldn't mind hearing you share some more through the weekend on some of that.
Okay.
I don't know.
My heart would be, I mean, I don't want to focus on making that nothing at all. That's not my intent. And I'm not saying there isn't certain situations or whatever that maybe the local church isn't at a place, whatever, to deal with certain situations that they're, you know, that could be used. But my heart would be, let's cry out to God to let everything that He has for here be here. And just, Lord, let there be a river flowing in, or let there be a grace that draws hearts to Christ. When the sinner walks in, he feels convicted of his sin, and he's, you know, when whatever, let, you know, let's bring the focus back here and cry out to God to make our churches just abounding in grace and the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's what I would say. You know, I think there's, again, I'm not saying there is no place for that, but you know, I read a quote from a guy that has a church in L.A., and I was just shocked at his perspective. I didn't write it down, but he said, you know, there was never a need for, I can't remember a parachurch ministry that focuses on prayer. He said there was never a need for that till the people of God quit praying. And he just went through a whole list. There was never a need for campus crusade for Christ until the church quit reaching the youth in the colleges, quit, you know. And he just listed a whole, and it, I was like, wow. All of these big, huge Christian organizations have basically risen up because the needs weren't being met in the church, and it demanded that, you know, those needs demanded that somewhere they're filled, and they were filled with big ministries, parachurch ministries. So let's cry out to God about that in our churches. I believe if we trust God, if we believe in God, if we believe that we are called to do the works of Jesus Christ in our churches, by and large, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. You know, by and large, we say we do, but how much do we really believe that? And I think if we get back to really trusting Christ and believing Him, we'll see the ministry and the work. Jesus said, greater works than these shall ye do. Jesus still said that. That's still in the Bible. That's still in John 14. Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. That's still true. I don't understand that. We can make a doctrine out of that and just try to pursue the greater works. That's not the point. The point is we want to make Jesus real. We want to have the ministry of Jesus Christ in our midst. We want that people encounter Christ and His ministry. What He did on this earth when He walked here, I still believe He's longing to do through His people on this earth. I believe that. We've seen, you know, we've seen just little glimpses of that. We've seen measures of that. But I believe there's a river there that God is waiting to open up to His people that are humble, that are broken, that don't use that to build our name, our ministry, our church, make it look like we got something no one else has. God is, we don't do it for that. We want Jesus to be real. We want Jesus to be real. Is there any other questions or anything? I would just like to call you up for all those that want to. And why don't we just gather up here and just pray and ask God. Let's ask God to help us properly represent His awesome Son in this day that we live. We're not here to be somewhere between liberal and conservative, and you know, it almost seems to me at times we start churches and we're just like trying to add another flavor of ice cream in the box or whatever that nobody else has. Maybe I'm a little paranoid, but it seems to me that church, we're not about that. We're not about just trying to be a balance between not too legalistic and not too, and all of that. That should have nothing to do with what we're about. It should be Christ. It should be Jesus, to make Him real, to make Him known, to let Him be real in us so we can make Him known to this community, to our families, and so on. So I would just invite you to come up and let's just spend some time praying and crying out to God for that. If you have that freedom to, you can mute my mic if you want.